we're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There is so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we have carved out a space just for you. The Creative Entrepreneur, making and selling physical goods. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. Hey friends, welcome back to Proof to Product. I'm your host, Katie Hunt. The other day, I looked up the formal definition of the term imposter syndrome, and there were a few key words that stood out to me. Oxford Languages defines imposter syndrome as the persistent inability to believe that one's success is deserved. Basically, we don't feel like we've earned the success that we've had. Sometimes we don't even acknowledge the success we've achieved. We don't celebrate it. Imposter syndrome can sometimes mean feeling like a fraud or feeling phony, like we're not truly talented or good at what we do for work. When you pair imposter syndrome with feelings of burnout or you start comparing yourself to other businesses, it's an awful feeling. I've experienced this several times throughout my career, and I'm willing to bet that you have too. Today's episode is an excerpt from a Labs coaching call where I shared four tactical strategies for combating feelings of imposter syndrome and comparison. These are good reminders to all of us as we wrap up the year and focus on what's still to come. If you want to join us for the next live Labs coaching call, head to proof2product.com/labs and join my 12-month group coaching program. These calls are a lot of fun, and I often unmute people to talk through their situation or questions. So join us at proof2product.com/labs. All right, let's talk about four ways to combat imposter syndrome and comparison.
We've got some really great topics here. There's some questions about imposter syndrome and questions about holiday breaks and shipping deadlines and selling your products plus other people's products. So we've got a lot of really good things to cover, and sales reps too. Annie asked about sales reps. So I want to start at the top with the imposter syndrome question, if that's all right. First of all, can I just see a show of hands in the chat? How many of you have ever felt imposter syndrome or comparison or anything like that within your business? I totally have. And I want to tell you guys, like, I was speaking at a conference. It was Sean West hosted a conference, and I think it was 2016. And I was standing on stage, and one of the very first questions anyone asked me during the Q&A, I gave my presentation. It went really well. And the first question somebody asked is, have you ever felt imposter syndrome? And I kind of chuckled. It was like a nervous laugh, but it was like, yeah, who hasn't felt that, right? And that's not to belittle this question, but it's just, I guess I just want to emphasize and empathize that you're not alone. Most people experience imposter syndrome or even comparison at least once in their career, but I would venture to say the business owners in particular experience it a lot more frequently because we are solely responsible for the success of our business, the creation of our products, the revenue that we're driving that is then going to pay for our team members or even things in our own life. So the pressure that that brings is pretty substantial. And so the question really boils down to, how do you effectively deal with imposter syndrome and comparison? It's easy to say, ignore those things and stay in your lane. But what are real actionable ways to combat this? Because it can be so detrimental to growth in both business and personally. So yes, absolutely. So a couple of things I wanted to point out, I made some notes here, so I'm going to look at those. The first thing I tried to do when this pops up is really hone in on what is causing me to feel like this. Are there patterns or things that keep continuing to come up over and over again? There's certainly times of the year where I feel a lot more stressed out, and that then causes me to feel this imposter syndrome. So I would say in your own life, look at what patterns, what are you doing at the times when it's coming up? What kind of habits have you formed that might be leading to this? Like for me, if I'm going down a rabbit hole on social media and I'm spending way too much time scrolling on social, that is where I start to get, oh, I should be doing this, or I should be doing this, or everyone's doing better than me. And really, that's not the case. It's more of like, if I can take a step away from whatever that behavior is, whatever that habit is, then I can kind of reset myself and move forward in a more positive way, which kind of leads me to number two. Annie says, I think it's often from feeling not in control. I will 100% agree with you on that. And right now, this year in particular, so many of us feel like things are out of our control, right? And so I will say I've been feeling this. I know a lot of other people, we just saw in the chat too, how many people have said they're in it. Let's see. Kate says, when I'm trying to snap out of it, I like to think there's always going to be people who are better than me, but what can I learn from those people? That's a great mentality, Kate. This kind of brings me to point number two. Like, I want to give you some tactical things you can do. I want you to reframe this. I want you to remind yourself of the facts. So if you're like feeling imposter syndrome about sending people emails from your business, right? Like they're not good enough or I'm bothering people or whatever it is. Remind yourself that people signed up for my email list because they want to hear from me. I'm not bothering them. We need to like reframe it in our head. Or, you know, if we're feeling like, oh, I heard somebody the other day say, oh, my friends just bought from me during this launch because they felt bad for me or whatever. No, your friends loved your products and they wanted to support you as a friend. But really the joy and the happiness and the usefulness of your products are why they ultimately purchase from you. So if we can identify the patterns and then we can reframe it in our head of like, well, why am I feeling this way? What is it that's bothering me? And how can I adjust my thinking and remind myself of the facts of I am really good at what I do and I'm bringing people joy through my products. And yes, this is an area of discomfort for me to do X, Y, or Z, but it's an important part of my business and I'm learning as I go. The other thing I want to tell you, another tactic that I want to share with you is set smaller, achievable goals that you will feel good about and it will help to build your confidence. So I start to feel some imposter syndrome or comparison stuff when I see everyone doing all these things and I'm like, I need to do that too. I need to be on Pinterest. I need to up my email game. I need to be releasing new product. Whoa, that kind of stuff is going to stress you out. So instead, what are three smaller tactical things that we can set, like goals or strategies? What are things that we can set that we can then feel good about? So what are three reasonable goals that we can certainly hit? And that's going to create momentum. As we start to hit these goals, we're going to be able to add some new things to that, new things and new layers, but we can do it in a slower, sustainable way where we don't feel just overwhelmed or like we're not good enough. And then the fourth thing I wanted to mention here is this may seem dismissive, but take a break. I sometimes feel like this imposter syndrome is kind of the precursor to burnout, or they go hand in hand. And so I feel like this imposter syndrome, it's our brain and our body telling us that it's time to step outside of our normal day-to-day routines and kind of mix things up a little bit so that we can get a fresh perspective on things. So I would encourage anyone that's feeling this way to take a break. Now, a break might be just taking an hour off, an afternoon off. Maybe it's a couple of days. What that looks like to you is going to be different for everybody. Maybe it's making more time to play, do things that excite you, like paint or some arts or something. Or maybe it's just reading a book and having some quiet time. What that looks like for you is going to be very different. But I would encourage you to take some time off because we certainly don't want you to be burned out and we certainly don't want you to feel like you're not good enough. All of you are good enough. You all deserve to see success and to continue moving forward. But we do need to recognize that this year in particular has been really difficult and it's just been challenging because so much is out of our control. So the things that we can control, like setting smaller goals, taking breaks when needed, and kind of reframing things in our mind, those are going to help us combat these feelings. So, Cedric says, another syndrome, how do people deal with astronaut syndrome, the down feeling after the end of a huge sustained energy event that took a long time to launch, like a real big rebrand relaunch. I know that's what you just went through, Cedric. How do people manage and deal with that? Yeah, it's kind of like a hangover. So for me, anytime we're doing a big launch or I'm running a big program, like after Paper Camp, for example, when I run Paper Camp for either two full days or it's 4 weeks of interaction, I always give myself at least a week off afterwards just to decompress. Some of that time is also playing catch up with different things that I kind of neglected during those times. But giving yourself space for sure to process and kind of get yourself back to normal. If other people Yeah, Sandra says she feels the same way after a trade show, for sure. When the shows would end on Wednesday, I would not do anything for the rest of that week. I would tell people we were out of office till the next Monday. So I think, Cedric, it's about giving yourself time and space to chill and relax and get back to it. But also during that time, I would encourage you to clock how you're feeling, like document how you're feeling, document the analytics, so to speak. How many people did you email and what were your sales and how many people ordered? Because those kind of things are really great to look back on later when you're like, I did this thing and here were the results. So I think it's a mix of still finishing it out by tracking those things, but then taking a break too. Yeah, Kristen says rest and be sure to jump into a fun new project that keeps you moving. Absolutely.